Welcome to Season 8, Episode 3 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about profitable Bible studies. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. In our busy society, few people have tolerance for anything that they perceive to be a waste of their time. The Scriptures do teach us to make the most of our time, Ephesians 5:16. So we should strive to do this in all things. When it comes to our periods of Bible study, particularly the times when we gather with other Christians to study together, how can we be sure our time is spent profitably? In this episode, we're going to notice four factors that will help determine the profitability of our Bible studies. Number one, content. This should go without saying, but when it comes to the content of our Bible studies, we need to be studying the Bible. The Word of God is truth, Psalm 119, 160. It shows us the way of salvation. Romans 116 says the gospel is the power of God for salvation. The Word of God is able to build us up and give us the inheritance among those who are sanctified, Acts 20 and verse 32. The Word of God contains everything pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. But it is not just part of the Word that is helpful to us. It is all helpful to us. Paul said, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Studies may be either topical or textual, but the content must be what is taught in the Word of God if we're going to have a profitable Bible study. Number two, the material. Many regular Bible studies use some sort of class material which has either been written by the class teacher or purchased by a congregation to use for the students. These types of materials can be useful at times, as those who produce the material do as the wise man who sought to find delightful words to write words of truth correctly, Ecclesiastes 12:10. But we must be careful that any material we use will be an aid to our study and not a hindrance to our study. It must complement the Scriptures, not replace the Scriptures. And while there is certainly nothing wrong with using good and helpful class material in our Bible studies, we must not use this material as a crutch, thinking that we cannot possibly have a profitable Bible study without some man-made class material. Paul told the Ephesians, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3:4. To understand Paul's letter, the brethren in Ephesus did not need a study guide on the book of Ephesians, written by some well-known preacher in another location. They simply needed to examine what Paul wrote. So when we think about the material that we use in our Bible studies, it can be helpful, and it can be an aid, but we cannot use it as a crutch, and we cannot use it to replace what the Bible says. And number three, the teacher. If a teacher wants to know how to conduct a Bible study that will be most beneficial, he should learn from what faithful men in the Bible did when they taught others in a public setting. Ezra opened the book of the law, read it, and explain the meaning of it, Nehemiah 8, 5, and 8. Paul reasoned from the Scriptures, explained them, and gave evidence for his arguments, Acts 17, 2, and 3. For Paul, it did not matter if some believed that his personal presence was unimpressive and his speech contemptible in 2 Corinthians 10:10. He was not seeking to fit their desires. He was determined to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. That was sufficient. As long as he knew Christ, and as long as he was presenting his word, that was enough for him. A teacher must not only focus on the Scriptures, but he must also avoid certain things if he wants to help conduct a profitable Bible study. He must not, number one, promote personal opinions. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men," Matthew 5 and verse 9. He must not waste time with myths and fruitless discussions. 2 Timothy 4:4 talks about those who will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul told Timothy to not pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussions, 1 Timothy 1:4 through 6. Do not go off into fruitless discussions of myths and things that are not in the Word of God. Number three, the teacher must not attempt to teach when he is unprepared and unable to explain the Scriptures. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:7, there were some who were wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And also, the teacher must not seek to elevate himself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." So again, a teacher, if he's going to conduct a profitable Bible study, he cannot promote his own opinions, he cannot waste time with fruitless discussions, he cannot attempt to teach when he's unprepared to teach, and he cannot or must not seek to elevate himself. Instead, he must speak as one who is speaking the utterances of God, 1 Peter 4:11. And number four, the students. Sadly, you can have Bible studies in which the Word of God is examined, material is used effectively to help one understand the Scriptures, and the teacher is careful to teach the truth accurately, yet some of the students still claim that the class is ineffective and that they get nothing out of it. In these cases, these students must learn that they also have a responsibility for making Bible studies profitable. Elders are told to shepherd or feed the flock of God among you, 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Teaching needs to be done. But no one can force feed anyone or compel them to take advantage of the spiritual nourishment that is provided in the Word of God. As students, we must understand what we need to do to help ensure that our Bible studies are effective. We must be attentive to what is taught. As Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," Luke 8:8. We must be eager to learn, as the Bereans who received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so, Acts 17:11. We must be diligent to mature in our knowledge of the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 2:15, and in our ability to apply those things that we learn, as we are to be doers of the Word and not merely hearers. Through practice, we have our senses trained to discern good and evil, James 1:22 and Hebrews 5:14. And we must love the truth, for without this love of the truth, we cannot be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. So in conclusion, any Bible study can be profitable and will be profitable when teachers direct students toward the Word of God and represent it accurately, when students seek to listen, learn, apply, and grow in their knowledge of the Word, and the Scriptures are emphasized and carefully examined. When these things happen, then we will benefit from our time in studying the Scriptures together. But when these things don't happen, we are just wasting our time. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about shortcuts to Bible study. Until then, I hope you have a great week.